I'm standing on a mountain overlooking the Sea of Galilee in the land of Israel. It's called the Mount of Beatitudes. This is the famous place where Jesus taught the Sermon on the Mount. Oh, beloved, it was a life-changing message. It was one that astonished people. Come with me, and together we'll study the Sermon on the Mount. Having established who Jesus Christ is, and having given us the prophecies that have been fulfilled, the words of the prophets that have been recorded, Matthew now takes us to Jesus' first discourse. This is the discourse on the famous Sermon on the Mount, is what we call it. It occurred here, in all probability, on what they call the Mount of Beatitudes, a beautiful mountain overlooking the Sea of Galilee, overlooking the region of Galilee, where Jesus will spend a great time in public ministry. It says in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth, and he began to teach them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. And blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way that they persecuted the prophets who were before them, they will persecute you." We will be persecuted for following Jesus. And yet, this is part of the Beatitudes. Blessed, happy, content is the man who has this character. As Jesus begins this teaching, there are several words that you need to watch and that you need to mark. One of those is a word that you're marking already, and it's the word righteousness. The Sermon on the Mount is all about the righteousness, the character of those who are true followers of Jesus Christ. Remember when John the Baptist came into the region baptizing, the scribes and the Pharisees came to be baptized of John. And he told them that they were a brood of vipers, and that they were to bring forth fruit in keeping with repentance. He brought them down because they were not righteous. So now what Jesus is going to do and what Matthew is going to accomplish in his gospel is Matthew is going to show us that the kingdom of heaven belongs to those that are righteous. It's those that are going to be blessed of God. And so he gives a description of a character that is very opposite to the character of the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, I've done extensive teaching here in the land of Israel on the Sermon on the Mount. And so I'm not going to go into all the details because you can take it in depth. We have a whole precept course on the Sermon on the Mount. But what I want to do is I want to move through the text and I want to summarize it as we go along, because the course that I wrote is very, very long and there's so much rich, rich food here for your soul. But when we look at it, he opens up with the statement of blessed are those, and he's describing the character of the righteous. And he begins with this important statement in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now remember, he's coming and he's preaching after John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So who's going to have the kingdom of heaven? Who's going to possess the kingdom of heaven? Well, it is those that are poor in spirit. And this word poor means that you see that you are so, in a sense, dirt poor. You are so poverty stricken that you can't even lift up your head. You're bowed down and you feel such poverty of spirit that you can't lift up your head, that you can't look up at the person standing above you. And he says, I want you to know that that's the heart's attitude of those that are going to belong to the kingdom of heaven, of those that are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. Well, the Pharisees would never walk that way. The Pharisees were proud. The Pharisees were arrogant. The Pharisees, as you are going to see when we get to Matthew chapter 6, practiced their righteousness in order to be seen of men. They exalted themselves. And he's saying, that's not who is going to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's the poor in spirit. It's those that realize their deep-seated poverty. It is those that recognize their sin. It is those that come in the state of poverty to lift up a hand to God and say, there's nothing about me that makes me deserving of the kingdom of heaven. I want to go back for just a minute so that you do not miss it. And I want to take you back to Matthew chapter 3, just by way of review. It says, Jerusalem and Judea and the district around the Jordan were all going out to John the Baptist. In verse 7, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore, bear fruit in keeping with repentance. Now watch what he says. And do not suppose that you can say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our father. He says, don't exalt in the fact that you were born a Jew. That's not what's going to get you in heaven. And then he goes on to say that the axe is already laid at the fruit of the tree, at the root of the tree. Therefore, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So he's letting them know, that if they do not see their need for repentance, and he says over and over again to them, I baptize you with water for repentance. He's calling them to repentance. Well, it's the poor in spirit that are repentant. It's the poor in spirit that see themselves as they really are. And it's to those that he gives the kingdom of heaven. Well, if you see your poverty of spirit, the next thing you're going to do is you're going to mourn for your sin. And so he says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Have you mourned? Have you grieved over your sin? Has it broken your heart what you did to God? How you walked in arrogance and how you walked in your independent living and your independent lifestyle? How you broke his commandments? Does that bring sorrow to your heart? Then God is able to comfort you. He's able to comfort you because you have the same heart that he has in respect to sin. Then he says, blessed are the gentle, or blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Now, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes are all going to try to manipulate things to get their way. You're going to watch it all the way through the Gospel of Matthew. As a matter of fact, through the Gospel of Matthew, what you're going to have is you're going to have a contrast between the religious who do not know God and the righteous who have walked in repentance and believed that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Well, as you look at them, one of the things that you see is you see that the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees are anything but gentle. They are anything but humble. The word for gentle here, or translated meekness in the King James Version, which I really preferred because it's far more than gentle. It's the word praotes, P-R-A-U-T-E-S. And that word, it was used of taking a horse and putting the reins under it and bringing that horse into submission. So this is a temperament. It is a spirit. I would say it's a spirit rather. It's a spirit that says that I am not going to exalt myself or go down to the depths, but rather I am going to walk in complete and absolute trust of God. It's like putty in the hands of God so that God can do with you as he pleases and you don't resist him. That is what it means to be gentle. That is what it means to be humble. That's what it means to be meek. It's a lowness. It's a lowness of spirit. It's a servant kind of thing. He says, they will inherit the earth. Now, that's so different than what we think. We think it's the aggressors. We think it's the ones that are out there just pushing and moving and manipulating to get their way. They're the ones that are going to inherit the earth. And Jesus says, oh no, oh no, you have it backwards. Then he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. I came to know Jesus Christ at the age of 29. I moved from a religion to a relationship. I moved from an immoral lifestyle, from a divorce and immorality on my part, to coming to know Christ and being absolutely transformed. And I remember one day I was lying on the floor on my tummy with the Bible propped in front of me and reading it. And I had been praying, oh God, what if I want to be a holy woman of God? What if I really, really want to be everything you want me to be? Will you let me be it? And I looked down and I read, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Oh, I just rejoiced. I rolled over and laid on my back and just rejoiced before the Lord. Precious one, are you hungering and thirsting for righteousness? God's word to you is, you will be satisfied. We'll be back to the Beatitudes in just a minute, right here from the Mount of Beatitudes overlooking the Sea of Galilee.
Don't you want to see an America that honors God? What can we do about it? Well, he's told us in Deuteronomy chapter 6 that we're to invest in the next generation by diligently teaching them the Word of God.
My husband and I know that it's important that our kids be rooted and grounded in God's Word. One of the tools that we've discovered to do that was Precept Boot Camp, and that's why we sent our daughter Sydney last summer. Now Sydney is not only growing in her walk with the Lord because she's studying God's Word for herself, but she's leading others and sharing with them what she learns.
So what part can you play? Will you prayerfully consider in giving to this effort in establishing young people in the United States to know God and to follow Him in His Word and make an impact on this generation?
It is so awesome, beloved, to stand on this mountain with you, overlooking the Sea of Galilee, and open the Word of God and listen to the teaching that Jesus Christ gave on this mountain. the teaching that he gave to those that were following him. First to the disciples, but we know by the end of this message that many had seen him up here and they had come to hear his teaching. It was teaching that literally threw them to the ground. I mean, it just absolutely astonished them. It awed them. And the reason that it did was because what he was teaching was so contrary to what they saw. He was teaching them about the character of those who belong to the kingdom of heaven. And he picks up in Matthew chapter 5, verse 7, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy." Merciful means I see you in desperate need. I have the means of helping you. I have the means of bestowing compassion on you and lifting you up. And so I do that. I do that. I'm kind. I'm loving. I'm compassionate. I'm merciful. Have you got it? And he says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." He's going to talk about this purity of heart, and he's going to expound on it later. But if you want to see God, you can't have a dirty, filthy heart. You've got to keep that heart pure. And when you do, then you see God. "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." What did Jesus do? He came, and he was the Prince of Peace. And he was going to bring peace to his people. And so if we are peacemakers, then we are called the sons of God. He says, "Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness." Now, this is the second time in the sermon that he's mentioned righteousness. He mentions it in verse 6, those that hunger and thirst for righteousness. He mentions now in verse 10 that they're going to be persecuted for the sake of righteousness. But then he says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Right away, he is laying down for us that we are going to suffer. And we're going to suffer because we are righteous people living in an unrighteous world. We're living in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And because of that, we're going to be persecuted. Because unrighteousness does not like righteousness. And in all probability, you've experienced that. But he says, "I want you to know, if you are persecuted for righteousness, then the kingdom of heaven belongs to you, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to the righteous." He goes on to say, "Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." In other words, you are so like me. And you are such a representative of me. And your character is being more and more like mine. And so people are going to say things falsely about you because of me. And he says, you are blessed because of that. He says, "I want you to rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great." When Jesus Christ comes, Revelation 22:12 says, he brings his reward with him. He says, "For in the same way," your reward is great, "for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The ones that were spokesmen for God, the ones that brought the message of God to a crooked and perverse generation of Jews, Jews that were not obeying God. Those prophets were persecuted. Jeremiah was put in a cistern and left there. We know from Hebrews that Isaiah, tradition says, was sawn in half. They were persecuted. They rejected the prophets. They stoned the prophets. But he says, "Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Then he makes the statement, "You are the salt of the earth." But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It can't. And when salt was big hunks in those days. It was not refined salt like we have coming out of a salt shaker. People were paid in salt. He says, "You're worth your weight in salt." So salt was huge. But if the salt lost its savor, then how could it be made salty again? When salt was no longer good to be used as a preservative, when it was no longer used to make the food taste good, and when it had lost all of its salt, it was cast out, it was thrown out, and it was used like a sidewalk. It was used for crunchy stuff to walk on. And so he goes on to say this, it is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. And he says, now look, if you don't keep your saltiness, you're good for nothing but to be trampled underfoot by men. And that's what happens to a lot of Christians. A lot of people who bear the name Jesus and do not live the way that they ought to live, do not have the kind of relationships that they ought to have, do not talk the way they ought to talk, do not treat people the way they ought to treat people, then they've lost their savor. And men just trample them down. They think nothing of them. He goes on to say, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Why? Because that city has lights, and in the darkness it shines so brightly. He says, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who were in the house. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Now watch and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I want you to mark every reference to Father. I put a box around it and colored it yellow. And I want you to watch as we go through the Sermon on the Mount how many times he refers to the Father. So he's talking about them. He's talking about them as the righteous, glorifying their Father, which is in heaven. And he's reminding them that they are to live in such a way that they can see their good works that are born of their character, that is blessed by God, so that men might see their righteousness and glorify the Father that's in heaven. He says, do not think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. Now he's going to talk about the law. He's going to talk about what's written in the law. And he's going to show them that keeping the law is a matter of the heart. It's not just external keeping of the law, but it's an internal thing. But before he does this, he wants them to understand that as he tells them these things, he does not come to abolish the law, but he has come to fulfill the law. He says, for truly I say to you, that until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass from the law until all is accomplished. He says, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever keeps and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you, that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven. What has he just told us? He's given us an example of a righteous man, a righteous woman who's going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. It's a righteousness that is so different than that of the scribes and Pharisees. We'll talk about it more in the days to come.
Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically. But I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation. It's not a luxury. It's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word. where it happened.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
I cannot tell you what happens to people when they study the Sermon on the Mount in depth, when they go deep into these scriptures. How I pray, beloved, that you have gotten your study guide and that you are studying along with me, that you are marking the text. As you do, you're going to discover truth for yourself. It's truth that is going to liberate you. It is truth that is going to set you free. And beloved, as you read this, I want you to understand that this is such an important passage. It's such an important teaching because right from the very beginning, what Matthew is doing through the teaching of Jesus is he is establishing the character of those who are truly righteous, the character and the lifestyle of those who are going to inherit the kingdom of heaven. So what is my word to you today? What is God's precept for life for you today? It's this. Get into the Sermon on the Mount. Read it out loud. Read it out loud every single day. And as you read it out loud, ask God to speak to your heart. Ask God to take the water of His Word and to cleanse you. And tell Him that you want to understand what it means to have a righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, a righteousness that is pleasing to the Father. And just remember that He promised you that if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be satisfied. So remember what He says, salt of the earth. Remember what He says to you, light of the world. And don't let your light be hidden under a basket. In other words, set it on a hill. Let men see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If you'll do that, precious one, you'll have that blessed assurance that the kingdom of heaven belongs to you. But remember, it begins with you on your face, knowing that in and of your own self, you cannot please God. You cannot in any way satisfy Him in the flesh. It all has to be a matter of a heart for God.
Thank you for watching today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.